Glad to go to church. That was our message today. Psalm 122, verse number 1, David said, I was glad. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. That word glad means exuberant joy. We said that in the Old Testament, the house of God was the tabernacle at one point, the temple at the, I guess, final point there. And then when you come over to Acts chapter 2, where after Pentecost, and the church is birthed there, and the church is empowered and enabled there, as you begin to read the book of Acts, you begin to run into that same word, glad. 9 times in the book of Acts is the word glad or gladness used in some way. And so as the church is beginning to move forward in an organized and empowered fashion, there is exuberant joy in the first church. And we've learned this morning that, yeah, our bodies are the living temple of the Holy Ghost. And yes, there is a way where we as believers are the temple and we are the church. But Paul said in Timothy that there is a house of God, which is the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the walls and the plaster and all that, that's not necessarily the church. We are the church today. Amen. We understand that. But this is the house that the church meets in. And we meet here for corporate worship. We meet here as a recognizable location, that this is where the ecclesia, the called out assembly of believers, comes together on the first day of the week to lift high and exalt and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And there ought to be the same exuberant joy and gladness that we have coming to church, all the way that David had back in the Old Testament, and that the new church or the first church had. And I said that we've kind of come to a position in our culture today where people don't see the necessity of going to church. It amazes to me how relevant and timely the Word of God is. And the author of the book of Hebrews, under the leadership of the Spirit of God, knew that the mindset of humanity and even the mindset of Christian folks would be to forsake the church. That's why he wrote, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching. So as we see the return of Christ coming, and by the way, Jesus could come at any moment at all. Nothing has to happen before the Lord Jesus comes. He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. He could come 10 years from now. He can come whenever God allows him to come, but he could come at any moment. And so as we see that day approaching, we're finding that we need each other. I was really blessed by Brother Malcolm after the service today, because we were walking down the hallway going home. And he said, have you been listening to the radio lately? And he says, some of our preachers that are on a national level are preaching the same message that you preached today. And he seems like God is moving across our land to once again bring to his people the importance and understanding of the local New Testament church. By the way, and I'm going to talk about this in just a moment, there's no institution on earth loved more by Jesus than the church. And so, and it's loved more than the family. It's loved more than the government. It is the Bible says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so great things are happening in the organization or institution that God uses to work through is the local New Testament church. So we gave some reasons in Acts chapter 2 that we found written here why we should be glad to go to church. We said number 1 in verse 41, because the gospel is preached there. And we love to hear the preaching of the gospel. Paul said that the preaching of the cross is precious. And the songwriter said, tell me the old story. I never get tired of hearing about how Jesus saves. Never get tired of hearing of the cross of Christ, the resurrection. Never get tired of hearing the salvation and redemption that we have in him. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, you have heard, if you come to this church for some time, you've heard a clear presentation of the gospel. You know enough now to be saved forever. Pastor, I'm not ready. No, you're not willing. You're ready. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. You're just not willing, but you've heard the gospel preached. And what a joy it is. And we're glad to come to church and hear the gospel. We said in verse 41 that there was also Bible teaching. After they were saved, they were baptized. They were taught to be baptized. Let's just make sure we understand that water baptism, believer's baptism, if it's going to be biblical baptism, comes after you've been born again. After, not prior. So, Pastor, when I was a little kid, I got baptized, but I really didn't get saved till I was 21. But I'm counting on that baptism. No. Believer's baptism happens after you've been born again. It has to be after you've been saved because it's a testimony of what's happened. You cannot have a testimony without the actual event. You can't have a witness unless there's an activity. And the witness or the testimony of believer's baptism is that I have been saved. And so the new church, Peter, they're teaching these folks, hey, you've been saved, you need to be water baptized. And we talked about how glad we are to come to a church where there's Bible teaching and how blessed we are for somebody to teach us the principles and oracles of the Word of God. Then we talked about membership and in the joy of belonging to a local New Testament body in verse 41. We talked about fellowship in verse number 42 and how we need fellowship. And we said that this first church must have been a Baptist church because their fellowship was around eating, and that just seems to be the theme of the Baptist church. You heard about the little boy that went to show and tell, right? The teacher had show and tell for the classroom, and she said, now, I want you guys tomorrow to bring your show and tell, and I want some kind of description of the church you go to. And so they came the next day, and the little boy, I told you this before, I hope you remember, little Catholic boy stood up and he said, this is a crucifix, and this is a symbol in our church, and began to tell about the Catholic Church. Little Jewish boy stood up and he said, now this is the Star of David, and began to tell about the Star of David. Little Baptist boy stood up and said, now this is a casserole, and this is part of our tell about our church. So we understand how that goes. We talked about in verse number 42, corporate worship and the blessing of corporate worship. In verse 44, it says that they and all that believed were together. Together, there was a corporateness about worship there, and what a joy that is. And then we ended this morning's message in verse number 43, where it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." So there were miracles happening at this time, and really and truthfully, those signs and wonders were an authenticity to the apostles, and showed the great power of God in this new movement, in this new way, to use a Bible term, for the local New Testament church. And so I would submit to you that we still serve a miracle working God. And I believe that if we're not careful as Christians and as believers, we can almost be reduced into our thinking that God is only to limited and able to do what is humanly possible. I want you to understand something. Jesus is the God-man. He's fully God and he's fully man. But he's not limited to human ability. His ability is limitless. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing too difficult for him. If it's promised in the book, it's available to you. If it's in his will, he will provide it for you. And so one of the great things about coming to church is I get to hear your miracle. You get to hear my miracle that God did in my life. And your miracle encourages me, and my miracle encourages you. And there's been many times that I've come in and you have stood up and given a testimony, and you don't know this, but I'm struggling in an area, and your testimony has blessed me. Has that ever happened to you? Say amen. And so we need to be assured of that. I can't tell you how many times I've fallen on my face in prayer and said, now God, if you did that for them, then I can trust you to do that in my life. And what a joy it is to know that we serve an all-powerful, wonderful, working, miraculous God. By the way, the greatest miracle we could ever know in our life is the miracle of salvation and redemption. And so we go forward. All right, there's three more things I'd like to give you. We had 9 points. Glad to go to church. I'm giving you 6. I want you to come to verse number 45, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 45. The Bible says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had what, class? Need. One of the reasons that I'm glad to go to church does have to deal with the area of I'm loved in this place. People care about me in my church. And by the way, I do believe we have a loving church. I believe that we and if you're going to love, you cannot love without giving. The Bible says this: for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave. Any love that does not give is not love at all. If you're in some kind of relationship and somebody says they love, but all they're doing is taking from you, love never takes. It never robs. It never puts itself over somebody else. It never thinketh itself more highly. It never thinketh evil. 1 Corinthians 13. It never vaunteth itself. So love doesn't take. Love naturally, powerfully, and wonderfully gives. And one of the great and marvelous reasons that we're glad to go to church is we come together with people that love us. And if we love, there will be giving. I had a lady, and that amazes me how God just does what he does. We had a visiting lady today. I hope she's not here tonight. Let me look over the congregation just a second. She said, man, I've never been to a church like this before. When they say that, I always wait for that other shoe to drop. She said, we live in the area, and she said, we got hurt real bad at church, and we just stopped going. And my husband kind of has this mentality that all the churches want is your money. And I thought, oh, thank you, God, that I didn't preach this point this morning, because she's not here tonight. But, you know, I am glad to go to church because giving happens at church. I don't know about you, but I am blessed by God because I tithe. If you're blessed by God, say amen. Amen. I think, where would I be without tithing? Where would I be if I was in a position where I didn't honor God? How would I be able to care for my family if there weren't times in my life when God just took that window of heaven and slid that window back and said, somebody bring me a bucket? And he takes that bucket and he says, Tom needs a blessing here, and he's been tithing, so I'm going to pour that blessing out on Tom's life. I'll tell you, Tom needs the blessing of God on his life, and so do you. And one of the great joys and reason I'm glad to come to church is I get to bring the tithe. I don't know about you, but I get excited to give offering. Pastor, we knew you had problems, but we didn't know they were psychological. No. Have you ever had this experience where you're kind of amazed at the amount of the tithe you get to give? Sometimes, you know, I get in this rut where I'm just giving the same tithe every week. And it's kind of just where I ride it right. But man, then sometimes God blesses me in some area and the tithe is larger than it normally is. Man, I get all excited about that. I show Beverly, look, this is our tithe this week. She says, did you calculate that right? Are you sure? Oh, you have little faith. But I tell her, that's it. And man, when the offering plate comes by, I put that thing in the plate. I don't ever just plunk it in the plate. I say, now, God, thank you for blessing me. But I'm glad that I come to church so I can bring the tithe so God will bless me. I hope you live like that. And then to give missions money. And to give faith promise. And then if you look in this aspect here, it says, and 45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. There was benevolence there. I'll tell you, we have a very benevolent church. I don't count the offering. I don't know who does what. I purposely don't go in there. I guess I could check if I wanted to, but I don't do that. The deacons count the offering, but they'll give me an overall sheet sometimes, and it says it was this, and this was for the general fund, this was for the faith promise, and then sometimes they'll have the word benevolent there. And there'll be sometimes I'll be walking in the church, and some of you guys will come up, and you'll say, now, Pastor, did you know about Sister So-and-so? No, I didn't know about Sister So-and-so. Well, Sister So-and-so is in trouble, and Pastor, we heard about this. We don't want her to know this, but would you give her this? And they'll put something in my hand, and of course, I wait till they leave to see how much it is, and then I rejoice over that. But I had a man walking out the door today. I went to shake his hand, and inside his hand was a whole stack of Publix gift cards. I don't know, he must have bought them or stole them. I don't care how he got them, but they were in my hand. And he said, I want you to give this to somebody in our church. And you know, I had just received a few days ago how that there was a need in some area. And man, it happens all the time. A guy come up to me the other day, and a lady just today to remind me again, hey, Pastor, we want to pay for some kid to go to camp. Now, one man pays a whole year for somebody to go to school. And why do people do that? Because they love us. I'm glad to go to a church where I'm loved. And there's benevolence and there's giving. And sometimes I get to be the giver, and that's more blessed to give. But sometimes I got to be the receiver, and I get to be the receiver. And so at the beginning of this of the church, man, they were glad to go. So glad. Look what they were doing. They were selling what they had so they could meet people's needs. That's love, brother. That's love. I'm glad to go to church because there's gospel preaching. I'm glad to go to church because there's Bible teaching, membership, fellowship, corporate worship, miracles happening. I'm glad to go to church because I'm loved. People care about me. People care about you. I'm glad because I get to give tithe and faith promise. And there's a benevolent spirit and a giving spirit in this place. Number 8, look what else. Verse number 46. It says, after they did that, and they continuing daily with one, what's that word? Accord in the temple. I'm glad I get to go to church where there's unity. Unity. Do you ever find yourself getting dirty walking through the world throughout the week? When you get saved, you get transformed marvelously. We were talking to a man right before church. And I love this guy. He knows who he is. He's in here. I won't give his name, but I'll give his testimony. And I was just laughing with him, having a good time. I said, I'll bet before you got saved, you needed to be saved. He said, Pastor, man, before I got saved, and he listed so many sins, it would take me 6 months to tell you. No, and it wasn't that many sins. But what was he saying? He's saying, God changed my life. I'm going to tell you something. The world is lost and dark, is it not? And you may have a job where you have to work in the profanity, or you may have to work with deception and bitterness and so on. And you just, Pastor, all I want to do is just do my job. I can't stand. But the joy and the privilege to pull onto this property, park your car, walk in those doors, come in this building with people like-minded and wonderful unity and the love of the Lord. Let me tell you, I'm glad to go to church. That's what that word one accord means. It means unity, unison. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 133, verse number 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. It's as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Oh, how sweet it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm glad I get to go to a church where there's peace. Anybody ever been involved in a church split? Anybody ever been involved in church fighting? We don't have that in this place. We don't have discord. We don't have disunity. When we find discord, we stone them. That's why we don't have it. I'm just kidding about that. But there's wonderful unity. But why is there unity? Because we're in one accord. We're like-minded. We want righteousness. We want to honor the Lord. It's a place of safety. It's a place of security. It's a place where I'm allowed to be vulnerable. It's a place that I can share the needs and the depths of my heart. It should be a place where I can weep and I can rejoice. It's a place where I can be open and let people know the requests and the meditations of my heart and the things that we're going through. And there's wonderful unity in that place. Man, I'm glad I get to go to church because there I'm in one accord with believers. And then let's finish. Look, if you would, at verse number 46. It said, in this unity, they had breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord. Added to the church daily, such as should be saved. You know why I'm glad to go to church? I'm glad to go to church because the Lord is building His church. The Lord is involved in adding and multiplying and building His church. And the Lord Jesus is seated on the throne, and He is preparing to use the church for His glory. And He's given all of these promises to the church. And He's given all of this provision and power and commandment and the authority of God's word to the church. Does Jesus care about a lost and dying world? Yeah, they better get saved. And He loves them and He's available for them. But He's working inside the church. And He's bringing His church together. And He's taking people from every color, from every continent, from every culture. And they're coming to faith. And He's building, and He's building, and He's building, and He's putting it together, and He's protecting it. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and no weapon formed against it shall prosper. And He's putting it together, and He's preparing it as a bride for her husband, and one day He's coming to get us. I'm glad I'm numbered in that number. I'm in the church. So much better to be part of the church than the Republican Party. We're getting smoked. And then the Democratic Party. I think they're smoking. And the independents, they don't even know what they're doing. They're just being tossed every way. So much better to know that I'm part of the body of Christ. Man, I'm glad to go to church because I am in the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. I'm glad to go to church. Gospel preaching, Bible teaching, membership, fellowship, corporate worship, powerful miracles, the ability to give and know the love of God's people, strengthening with unity and one accord, and a peace that Jesus is the head of the church and that there will not fail one word that He has said. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And one day He's coming and He's going to get every single one of us. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. All right, let's have our prayer and let's make our way home.